What I want to do, I'm going to spend the next 20, 25 minutes sharing from the Word to kind of speak to even what we found ourselves in today, God moving in the area of healing, the power of God being demonstrated and manifested in our gathering. I want to say that I believe as time goes on, it's something that we have to become more intentional to make sure that we're touching the lives of people. Because there's going to be those that are coming and those that come and those are even here today that are hurting, those that are in need of healing, in need of help. And it's in this atmosphere that God can do some things instantaneously. How many of you know God doesn't need the same time that we need to get some things done? He just does it. He speaks a word and it happens. He speaks a word and it's done. It's like when Jesus was speaking. Remember when he spoke to the fig tree and cursed the fig tree? And then when they came back, the disciples were saying, man, this thing is dried up already. And God, and Jesus said, you can operate in this same place of faith, this same place of power, that when you speak, things happen. It comes out of a kingdom consciousness. Say kingdom consciousness. Come on, say it with a little more verbosity. Come on, kingdom consciousness. Yeah, it comes out of a kingdom consciousness, a kingdom mentality. And one of the things that I believe God is going to help us to help others with is how to operate out of this place of kingdom. We've learned to do church well. Come in, have a great service, and then go on about the rest of our day, the rest of and into our week. But there's something about understanding that here you get equipped. Here you get healed. Here you get touched. Here you get built up, and then you go out and you walk out kingdom. And so as we're talking about this year of unleashed power, potential, provision, and harvest, I want you to recognize that even while we're hearing it, God is creating scenarios for you and I to experience it. While we're hearing it, he's creating scenarios for you and I to experience it. And so you gotta recognize the greater the revelation, the greater responsibility that comes with it. The greater the revelation, the greater the responsibility that can come with it. And as George was saying, and I've said for some time, as we come here and people say, "Are you excited?" I say, "Yeah, I'm excited." But that excitement is tempered by the revelation of the weight of the responsibility that comes with something this large. And it's not something that should be looming over you if God has prepared you for it, but you have to step into it. And one of the things I want to say to you today is you're more prepared than you really know that you are. God will put things before you and I that seem large, but it's not because he's trying to overwhelm us or wow us. Sometimes he's just putting it before you in order to stir up on the inside of you what he's already placed on the inside of you. We're going to begin to look at a little bit the year of unleashed potential. Now, today I want to finish up talking about power, but I want to move into the potential aspect of this as well. Because most people, not just believers, but a lot of folk live beneath their potential. They never reach their maximum potential. Kind of sound like a motivational speaker, don't I? Well, I am. But I got the real goods. I got the word. And the word that works. We're here because we endeavor to walk and maximize potential. I'm talking about the God-given potential. And for all of us in this year, it's a season to step out in the power of God, to see the potential of God manifested through the provision of God in order to bring in the harvest of God. That's a good time to just clap your hands. Come on, just somebody. Give me a John Hagee clap. You know how John Hagee ministry does. They like clap on cue. It's like somebody holds up a sign like applause, applause, applause. I'm going to get one of those signs, just have it up here. So every now and then I'll just kind of hold it up out like this. One that says shout. One that says shout amen. One that says shout oh my. Cute. you know, subliminal things. We're going to have them just flash on the screen real fast, you know, every now and then. You know, you'll be saying hallelujah. You don't know why, but subliminally, we did that up there. And okay, I'm pulling it back in now. But as I've been meditating on this place of the unleashed power of God, it fits in with, or it's dug, it connects to the potential in God. You see, when Jesus spoke to the disciples, now I'm reading some of the scriptures that we've gone over, in Matthew 28, 18 and 20, it says this, and Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all power, say all power. Now he's talking about exousia and dunamis, okay? He's not talking about just the power to do it. He's saying, I got the authority to do it. And I'm going to show you in a minute where there were those who looking on recognized authority and power in operation. Matter of fact, you can see the power in operation and wonder where do they get the authority to operate in that power. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. He says, go therefore. He says, so he's saying, now you go and make disciples, say followers. Say followers. He didn't say go make Christians. He said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe meaning walk to walk in, to live out all that I commanded you, and I am always with you to the end of the age or to the end of the world. But it's in Acts 1 and verse 8 that he says something that brings clarity now to what it is he wants to impart or wants them to receive. And this is what it says. You will receive power, dunamis, say dunamis. Yeah, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even the remotest part of the earth. He even said, wait until you receive power. Wait until you're endued with power. Jesus recognized, I'm giving you authority, but you're going to need the power to back it up. You're going to need the power to back it up. And I'm saying to all of us, you really do. If you're born again, Spirit-filled, you have the power to back it up. I got one amen out of that. You have the power to back it up. And the day of us walking around as weak believers has to come to an end. We've got to walk in this place of the unleashed. We've got to walk into the place, and I talked about this on last week when I talked about walking in a place of I said it this way. You must walk in power, authority of God's word. It's not arrogance. It's not pride. It is a visible attitude of confidence rooted in the God-ordained experiences you have walked through that he has used to form his character in you. Meaning that at some point, if it's really connecting for you, everything you've been through, the stripes on your back have now become the stripes on your shoulders. Meaning that you've been promoted. Meaning that you get this. You didn't go through boot camp for nothing. You didn't go through the situations you've gone through just to come out on the other side and say, oh me, oh my, thank you, Jesus, you got me through that, and just plod along. There should be, and I want to try to keep connecting us around this, because God is raising up an army of believers who truly understand a kingdom mandate. And everything you and I have suffered through, everything you're suffering through, hupomino, the word suffer, hupomino, to endure or sustain a load of miseries, persecutions, or provocations in faith or in patience, it's all working in order to raise us up. It's all working to raise us up. Now, there's doctrines out there to tell you that God will just keep throwing it on you. I mean, let the devil keep throwing stuff on you so you'll stay saved. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. If it takes that for you to be saved, you might want to do something else. Now, I'm just telling you, because he doesn't work that way. He doesn't work that way. Everything that God does is out of love. Everything he does is out of love. And so even while you may have to navigate through certain challenges, each thing should produce in you another level of confidence concerning God. It should produce in you having released or unleashed a level of potential that you didn't know was there. I talked about last week, I just hit on the points and we may come back to it a later time, but I talked about the power to produce, the power to perform, the power to prosper, the power to pursue, the power to persevere, the power to prevail. All of those things should be evidenced in your walk and in my walk. All of those things. And it's for every believer, every disciple. I'm not talking about every Christian now, okay? Because it challenges me when I'm around other Christians, but there's no power in their conversation. There's no confidence in their faith and place in God concerning the things of God. And I'm saying to those of you, particularly that have been a part of AIRS for years, you should have this by now. Your conversation should have changed by now. Because we've taught it consistently. We've made it clear that your words really do frame your world. They really do frame your world. When Jesus was speaking to them, and he says to them, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and even the remotest part of the earth. What Jesus was saying to them was, you're going to need this power to walk out what's about to happen. That's really what he was saying. If you're going to be my disciples, you're going to need power to do it. And the reason why is because for them to walk out, you see, Jesus, when he said, you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, he was speaking prophetically to them. He was speaking prophetically to them. He was saying, this is what's going to happen with you. God speaks to you and I. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, brings us a prophetic word. He's speaking prophetically about the future without filling in all the information about how it's to happen. You see, had he told them how they were going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts, some of them might have said, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to do something else. Because right after that, not too long after that, Stephen is stoned. Stephen is stoned. As a matter of fact, Stephen is stoned, and you all know that there's a guy standing there in the crowd watching it, cheering it on. What was his name? What was his name? His name was Saul. Saul was standing there and enjoying it. What the disciples, or let me say it a different way, many of them did not connect the dots that what was happening now is exactly what Jesus said. And the reason why it's important for me to say that for you is, if you are not intentionally focusing in on the hand of God, the Spirit of God moving in your life, you're going to miss the opportunities that God will bring your way in order for him to manifest his unleashed power and potential through you. Because we can go about our lives and not recognize we haven't connected the dots that situation I'm in right now, this hardship I'm in right now, is to bring about the fulfillment of what God spoke to me over here. Yet, if we can do that, it will empower us, encourage us, strengthen us to keep going. But you got to be able to recognize it, even if you still don't like it. What am I talking about? So here in Acts, the 8th chapter, we need to get a clock back there, y'all, so I can track my time. Acts, the 8th chapter. Listen to this, verse 1. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. Talking about, thank you. Boy, I'm telling you, boy, all you got to do is say it and it's there. Thank you. Boy, that's, I guess that's how the word works, though. I mean, you just say it and it's, glory to God. I said, I need a clock. He put one right there for me. He said, yeah, we're getting out of here today. I'm gonna help you out, Pastor. Yeah, and it's digital, too. You ain't got to figure out what it is. I'm just thinking, you brother, it's not counting down. It's, you know. It says, goes on and says this. And on that day, now listen to me now. On that day, great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. Ah. You will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. Great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. Now let me just kind of give you this little caveat here. You and I must be willing to extend the same grace extended to us to those who still may be outside of God's purposes. Let me say it again. You and I must be willing to extend the same grace towards those we're looking at. This is Saul, who in a matter of time is going to have his Damascus Road experience and become Paul. But if you judge a person, which you shouldn't do, if you judge a person in their current state, you can miss out on what God has purposed to do at a later time. That's why you never want to live in a space where you think you have the right to judge someone else and write them off. Saul is putting people in jail. So as much as we might not like, we're not Facebook Live, so I can say a couple of things right now. So while you may not like the guy in the White House, don't underestimate God. Do not underestimate. Now, 7 more of y'all clap with the 5 that are clapping. Come on. Okay, so let me give you a little more perspective just to kind of help you see how I look at things. And I try to always see it from a kingdom perspective. Now, I'm not focusing on the guy in the White House. Just hear what I'm saying. I'm looking at something bigger. I sat with a gentleman on Thursday who flew in to meet with me. He's part of a global network of apostles and ministries. Global, 120 nations involved. Praying all over the world. We're sitting and we're talking. He says, this is what he says. He said, you know, we prayed him into office. He said, the reason why is there's a harvest coming. But it hasn't gotten bad enough yet for people to turn to God. Now think about that for a moment. He said, we prayed and God tilted that thing. All over the world, all over the globe, they prayed. They had set times where they all prayed. And they said, and we watched that thing shift. Nobody understood how this guy got in office. He said, we did that. I need you to get this. See, that's a place of confidence in God. He said, we did that. He said, we're already setting the next date to pray. He said, and we're sitting up in my office. We're sitting up in the office. He says, all them people out there in those houses, they'll come when it's so bad they have nowhere else to go except come to the embassy. Think about that. See, the Bible says that the end times are going to be so bad that that's when people will turn to God. Now, see, that's a different level of thinking, y'all. But I need to get it in your thinking, because when Jesus said that they would be witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts, what he didn't tell them, and the reason why you're going to go to those other places is because you're going to be persecuted so bad that you're going to leave. But here's the thing. The place that they walked in and the place that you and I must walk in is this place here. It goes on and says, therefore, it says, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Those who had been scattered got quiet and decided not to talk about Jesus anymore. That ain't what it says. They went out and began to preach everywhere they went. See, it isn't that the gospel is good when your life is good. It isn't that the word works when something's working for you. The gospel is good news all the time. The word works all the time. And when you and I can make that connection, no matter where you find yourself, no matter what your situation is, no matter where God places you, if you will stay consistent, if you will remain resolute, the word will do the work. Oh, the word will do the work. That's why, going back to Mark 16, that's why it says this. When Jesus says to them, these signs shall follow them that believe. And we know it says, it says, in my name you'll cast out devils, you'll speak with tongues, take up serpents, they won't hurt you, drink any deadly thing, it won't kill you. Lay hands on the sick, they will recover. But then it says this, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, the Lord working with them, and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. Confirmed the word by the signs that followed. By the signs that confirmed the word by the signs that followed. All God is looking for is someone that says, I'll be courageous enough to say, come to me. Come to me. Come to this place. I know a place where you can be healed. I know a place where you can be delivered. Now, you don't have to come to that place. We can handle it right now. But should you think you need to, I got a place for you. It's called the embassy. And in the embassy, there's a fellowship of believers who can believe for anything and believe for anybody. And in the atmosphere that they create through their worship, it's conducive for miracles. I know a place. We can handle it now. but we can handle it then. Now I want to say to you, God wants to use you wherever you're at. But you have to know it for yourself. So it says here that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. The crowds, with one accord, were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. Jesus is confirming, affirming his word as Philip is going out, as Philip is preaching the word, as Philip is sharing. That's exactly what's supposed to be happening in our lives. That's exactly what's supposed to be happening with you on your job. Now, I'm not talking about taking a text and trying to preach a message. I'm talking about living in a ready place to bring forth a ready word to an employee, coworker, supervisor. It goes on, says, for in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So they were rejoicing in that city. They were rejoicing in that city. They were rejoicing in the city, Samaria. But how did he get there? He was in Jerusalem. But when persecution hit, it pushed him out. He ended up in Samaria spreading the gospel. What is happening in your life right now that seems to be agitating you or pushing you to a different place? A place that maybe you're resisting, but it's all a part of God's plan for the fulfillment and the unleashing of his power and your potential, your God-given potential. So often, we just want things to be fixed right now, right here, and I'm good. But there are circumstances that can happen that's all about pushing you to another place. Often, there's circumstances and things that are happening because God wants to show you the potential that's untapped. And the world is in need of true believers who get it and walk it out in their daily, daily lives. That's what we're called to. Having a place like this, a beautiful place to worship, is great. But if the people won't come, you got to go get them. When they do come, it can't be all about what we think it ought to be. What's going to reach the unchurched? What's going to reach the millennials? What's going to reach those who have been so hurt and devastated by the church that they'll say, I'll never go to another church again, and yet God is still drawing them? This shift and this change is about all of us. It's for all of us, and it's for a harvest that's yet to come. Let me read just one more part here. As Philip was going about working the miracles of God, there's also the counterfeits out there. And God wants to work through you and I to expose and pull down those counterfeits. I'm talking about systems, things in place that keep people from coming to a true place of relationship with Jesus. The world system is set up in such a way that you can have needs met and never ever turn to Christ. So you know what's going to happen? The systems are going to crumble. God's going to remove them. And the only place they can come is to the kingdom of God. That's where things are headed. That's where things are headed. Philip is ministering and says, now there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, the smallest to the greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, this man is what is called the great power of God. And they were giving attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. Now here's where the unleashed power of God comes into play. Because we're going to begin to have opportunity to step into some arenas where it's looked one way to be authentic, but God, through the power of God, is going to shut it down. There are a lot of things and a lot of different teachings and a lot of different speakers and things right now that are out there. And they seem to be saying some good stuff, but it's not the God stuff. It's void of power. And this guy, Simon, has duped all these people into believing he's operating in the power of God until the authentic shows up. That's exactly what God's going to begin to do with us. So think it not strange when you find yourself in an environment that you would not have gone into on your own. Recognize why you're there so you don't miss the opportunity. It says, but when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Now look at this. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip as he observed signs and great miracles taking place. He was constantly amazed. Now, he was there for the wrong reason. But here's what we got to get, even with this. You know the parable of the wheat and the tare, right? The sowing. Jesus shares the parable. And in the parable, the workers say, do you want us to go and get out the tares that have been sown? And Jesus says, no, leave them right there. Because in the end, all of that will be separated. All of that will be separated. It takes a mature believer to give time for certain things and not immediately try to cut things off. Now I'm back to that place of grace and not judging and recognizing that he who is judge will judge all things. And that separation will take place at the appointed time. So Simon is hanging out with everybody else, but his heart isn't right. Those that believed were now becoming a community. What happened to my timer, man? And it says this, now when the apostles in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Now remember it said the apostles, except the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. But when they heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, what? That they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. They began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. How do you know that they were receiving the Holy Spirit? They began to speak in unknown tongues. Now, that's a whole nother lesson. Now, when Simon saw the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, here's where he gets exposed. He offered them money, saying, give this power, give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter. Your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of your wickedness, this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity. But Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you said may come upon me. Part of Philip's assignment was to expose the counterfeit. In the unleashed power and the unleashed potential, God's going to use it to expose the counterfeits now. Now I'm speaking prophetically, the counterfeits. Those things that are out there that people think work, those things are out there that people are amazed by. But when true believers, disciples, begin to arise and step up and walk in the place of power and authority that God has given you and I to walk in, it will expose the counterfeit. And just like with Simon, those who are the counterfeit, they're going to want it, but they're going to have to get it the right way. Some of the years of my traveling in worship, involved in worship and music, you travel and you around a lot of musicians. All gifting doesn't equate to anointing. You can just be a very gifted musician. And nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But gifting coupled with anointing produces something powerful. And in my travels, a lot of circles, a lot of musicians gather around musicians and they all like to play and, you know, and do different riffs and or if they're on the guitar and, you know, kind of show each other stuff and try to outplay each other and different things. And over the years of my being out and playing, there's times when be leading worship, be playing, get done. Keyboardist or somebody, a musician, come up to me and they say, man, show me how you did that. Show me how you did that. Show me how you did that. Now, I'm not saying that their motivation was like Simon. But what they're saying is, you did something I'd like to be able to do too. Show me how you did that. Show me how you did that. Man, can you show me what you did right there? And I learned to say to them this. It's not what I did, it's where I did it from. It's not what I did, it's where I did it from. Source. secret place. This year of unleashed power, unleashed potential, unleashed provision is to bring in unleashed harvest. And you and I are going to have the opportunity to grow up and step into the place that allows God to use us in ways that exposes the counterfeit and begins to shut systems down. You see, what happened with Simon and Philip wasn't anything new. Exodus, Moses, the plagues. The first few plagues, so many plagues, Pharaoh's magicians could do the same thing, remember? He said, they said, and Pharaoh's magicians worked their secret arts, and they did the same exact plagues until it's like God said, that's enough of that. And God shifted things by one plague of gnats. And when Pharaoh's magicians tried to do it, they couldn't duplicate it. Does anybody remember what they said? This is the finger of God. That's what God is doing right now. And you and I are a part of that. Everything in your life has prepared you for this moment. I want to help you not miss it. Amen. Would you thank the Lord for this word if you received anything out of it?